faith and sexuality. I know some of you are like, well, this one was pretty mild compared to years past. The theme for this past month has been relationships, how to love God, how to love others well. Also, side note, if you have topics that you want to talk about, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. In week one of our series, we talked about how we are created in the image of God, and that means that we're created for relationship, to be connected with both God and with others. Week two, we talked about singleness and the importance of being rooted first in God, that our worth, our value, our purpose, identity comes from God, not our relationship status or being or our friendships. Week three, we talked about friendships and how we can engage in healthy friendships, how we can be a good friend, how we can set boundaries with each other, how we can do conflict well together. Tonight, we're turning to the topic of dating. How do we engage, how do we approach dating in a way that loves God and loves others? Before we jump into this, though, I want to back up and talk about why we think that this series is so important and why we've been doing it for the past 3 years. We want you to know how to navigate these topics well. We want you to know how to engage these things in your life. Yeah, that'd be great, actually. Thank you. We want you to be informed, so that you don't end up hurting yourself or others. Both Amanda and I have had experiences where either we or someone else was hurt. We want to help you think about things differently. Specifically for tonight, our goal is not to shame you, but you may hear some things that you've already done or something that you may end up doing. We are not saying these things to shame you, but to push you to God's best for you. And the beautiful thing is, even when we don't live into God's best for us, he offers us forgiveness. So with that in mind, let's start with a simple question. What's the purpose of dating? Why do people date? Some people date for fun. It's fun to be romantically interested in somebody. It's fun to go on dates. It's fun to have that relationship. Some people date for experience or maturity. They want to know what they are looking for in a relationship, what to avoid in a partner. They are learning things about themselves. Some people date for the obvious reason, to find a spouse, to get married. They're dating for marriage. Other people might date for validation. I'm placing my value and identity on another person. I'm worthwhile because another person is interested in me. Other people might date for companionship. They don't want to be alone, or they're afraid to be alone, and so they have a significant other for company. All of these are different reasons, but what does the Bible actually say about dating? What does it say about the purpose of dating? Honestly, nothing specific, really. The Bible doesn't say this is why you should date. It's not telling us, oh, these are all the reasons. And you know what else the Bible doesn't say? The Bible, nowhere in the Bible will I find it saying, Matthew, you're going to marry Anna, my wife. Just isn't in there. That doesn't mean that we still don't pay attention to it when we approach dating, because it does help guide us as we start dating and we start having romantic relationships. It does talk about loving and honoring others. No matter our approach to dating, that should be the goal in all of them. How will I honor and love you well through this relationship, however long it lasts? Ultimately, that's the purpose. To love the other person. And I don't just mean romantically. Love is a big word. We can use it in a lot of different ways. I love Oreos. I love my friend. I love that you're all here with me tonight. I love that it's getting warmer outside. I love my wife. I love my dog. Those are all different ways of me using the word love They all can mean slightly different things. So what do I mean when I say love the other person well? I mean that we care for them as a whole person. I think the most important definition to the word love is that it's a verb. It's an action. I will love the other person. One place that the Bible talks about this, about how to love the other person well, specifically in the context of romantic relationships, is Ephesians 5. Now, Ephesians 5 does zoom in specifically to marriage, but I think its principles apply to dating as well. Listen to this. Ephesians 5, 21. Submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. This verse sets the tone for the next two verses that we're going to read. It's how the relationship makes sense. Submit to one another. And then in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. And then later in verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, there's a lot going on in Ephesians 5 that we just don't have the time to talk about tonight. If you're interested, come find me after. But I want to point out two things to you. The first, we relate to each other by submitting to one another. That is a really important word, submit. But what does it mean? I'd put it this way. It means to accept, yield to, and care for the needs, wants, and hopes of another person. To accept and yield and care for the needs, wants, and hopes of another person. The second thing I want you to notice is this is to one another. Yes, wives to your husbands, and husbands to your wives. It's a race to the bottom. We submit to each other. It means that I accept and yield and care for my wife as she accepts, yields, and cares for me. It means that I count her as more important than myself, even if it feels unfair. That I give up my needs, wants, and hopes for her needs, wants, and hopes. Now, there's a balance to that. I don't just become a doormat to be walked all over. I don't erase my needs, wants, and hopes. But to love and submit to my wife means that her needs, wants, and hopes are more important than mine. And it works in a healthy relationship because the idea is I don't have to worry about me because my wife is doing the same thing. This is what loving each other looks like. It's not just a feeling, it's not a vibe, it's not about chemistry, it's a choice about putting someone else before you. And honestly, that's hard. It requires something of you. This is why being rooted in God is so important. Because the only way that you can love someone else like that is if you've experienced it from Him first. You can only give to others what you have experienced. It leads to a really honest question worth sitting with. Do I have the maturity to love someone else well right now? It's not about, am I ready to have a girlfriend or boyfriend? Are they cute enough? Do they like me back? But genuinely, am I in a place where I can care for another person more than myself? And that looks different for everyone. It's not a question meant to discourage you or disqualify. It's actually meant to protect you and the other person. Because here's the thing, dating isn't about finding the right person. It's about being someone who can love and accept and yield and care for another person the way that Ephesians 5 describes. But what does that look like when you're in it? When you're in the moment, texting someone late at night, or when you're trying to figure out what your boundaries are going to be, or when you're deciding what to send or post online, or even just figuring out who you like. That's what Amanda is going to help us think through next.
Has anyone heard of this idea of a hot take? A hot take is a bold, quick statement that could make you like pause, reflect, maybe debate, or even go, ow. Here's three I have. Pineapple absolutely deserves to be on pizza.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, see, you want to debate me. Winter is the worst season ever. Okay, I hate winter. How about this one? If you wouldn't say it out loud in youth group, you shouldn't post it. Makes you think, huh? Here are some dating hot takes that we're going to go over. Number one, there's going to be four. Number one, how you date matters. Like Matthew talked about, healthy dating honors both God and the other person. Being clear with the other person is kind. Clear is kind. Being clear about feelings, being clear about boundaries. Remember, boundaries are like this limit that helps you to protect yourself and the other person's heart, soul, and mind. Through a relationship with God, the Holy Spirit helps us guard ourselves so that we can honor another person. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable." Back to that word honor. Clear boundaries allow others to know how you want to be treated, and it also tells someone else how they want you to treat them. There's different kinds of boundaries that we've talked about. One, physical boundaries. Holding hands. Maybe it's never being alone at home in a bedroom. Staying in a public space together. Kissing. Sitting next to each other. Public displays of affection. There's emotional boundaries. Separating your feelings from your significant others. Being careful about saying I love you. Don't let your significant other's problems and emotions overtake yours. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart, for everything you do flows in." The idea of emotional boundaries is that they guard your heart so you don't get hurt. Social boundaries. It's still being with your friends even though you have a significant other. It's hanging out in a group. It's keeping your friends. It's not being out or online past 10 o'clock. And you're like, what? Because when we're tired, it's called fatigue weakness. And when we're tired, we make poor decisions. And boundaries are pushed when we're tired. And also this idea of being isolated. When you're by yourself, you're more tempted to do things that you probably wouldn't normally do. Spiritual, how you spend your time praying, growing in your faith as a couple versus individually. Is your romantic relationship hindering your personal relationship with God, or is it helping it? The right person actually won't be scared by these boundaries. They will appreciate them. And I have some red flags. So if these things are happening either in a friendship or in your relationship that you're in, I would encourage you to reflect and talk to someone about it. Number one, they get angry when you say no. They try to make you jealous on purpose. They pressure you physically. They isolate you from friends. No, you can't hang out with them. They guilt trip you, meaning if you really loved me or liked me, you would do this. And they ignore your boundaries repeatedly. If these things are happening, this actually isn't romance. This is control. Hot take number two. A healthy relationship is when your commitment and your connection match. So your connection is how close you are with someone, and your commitment is what level of permanency is this relationship going to be. In marriage, you have the highest level of commitment and the highest level of connection. They match. But in teen dating, the reality is the commitment isn't permanent yet. So your connection should match the fact that you're not married. The fact that you may not be together forever. And so if you build a marriage-level connection, like sex and other things, and sharing everything and depending on everything, but your commitment is here, that creates imbalance that we're going to talk more about in number three. Number three, this could be controversial. We can talk about it later. You should not date a non-Christian if you are a Christian. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Okay, a yoke. Back in the day, you had oxen. I think there's a picture. And on the back of an oxen, you had two oxen, and you put this bar, this wooden bar on it, and that helped both oxen go in the same direction to accomplish the task because they were working together at the same pace. Paul's saying when one person is a non-believer and one person is a believer, you're not equally yoked. You are going in a different direction. You have a different lens of how you look at life, and it causes tension. You aren't accomplishing. You're not going in the same direction. And when your connection is higher than your commitment, you could get hurt. It creates this imbalance. This lack of yoking creates a tension in your relationship. And most of the time when those don't match, someone gets hurt in some way. Hot take number four. Attention online is not affection. When I was your age and I met someone, I actually had seen them in a physical space together. So maybe I went to a game, maybe I went to an event, maybe I went with my cousin to her game, and I see a boy and I'm like, oh, can I have your number? Like, I physically have seen this person. The reality is that you guys can be in a relationship with people and never actually see them. That was not a thing in my world. So likes, streaks, comments, snap scores, and followings are not actually proof of love. They're proof that someone has thumbs. Being validated online by shares, streaks, other online presences can actually lead you to validation addiction. And you're like, come on, Amanda. How many of you sitting here have checked your phone because it buzzed or did something and you're like, oh, who liked my post? That is validation addiction. And we all have it in some way. We want to know what's happening online. Social media intensifies everything. The people are making millions of dollars off this. They know what they're doing. This means that we need to be careful if we are having only relationships online. And if no one knows about the relationship you're in, that's a red flag. I know that some of you can't drive and you're like, Amanda, but how do I hang out with my people? I would say FaceTime them, Zoom with them, Google Meet, go to a movie together, go hang out. You're actually seeing someone. Yes, it's through a device, but you're not just chatting because I'm like, are the people you're chatting with actually real? And do they know you exist? Also, something that you need to remember is that sending any image or picture of yourself to others has real consequences. Images can be saved, they can be shared, and they can be altered. And I've even heard of conversations of people who are having conversations between a boy and a girl. Someone takes a picture of it sitting next to them. They alter the conversation, and now it's viral. It happens. And so once it leaves your device, you do not have control about what happens with that. Also, online, pressure tactics are more common online than in person. My pressure to you is way easier if I'm sending you a text than I have to look at you in the eye. So I know that we've talked about things, and I want to remind you what Matthew said, that if there's something that we've talked about tonight and you're like, I've done that, I'm doing that, and oh no. There's no shame. Literally, there's no shame. But what there is forgiveness and the fact that you don't have to continue doing whatever you're doing. Jesus died on the cross because there is no sin that is too big, too massive, that he will not forgive you if you go to him with it. And so as you navigate this, you don't have to live with whatever it is just because you've made a bad decision. there's going to be a question up there, and we're going to reflect on it, and then we will pray and go to small group. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity of forgiveness. Thank you that as we have a relationship with you, that we are never stuck, that you renew our hearts, our minds, our behaviors, our souls to become new people when we have that relationship with you. That as we come to you, you will be with us, you will guide us in our relationships. Help us to be people who honor you, but also honor each other. Lord, relationships are hard, and sometimes being single is hard. And so, Lord, help us and prepare our minds and our hearts to honor you and other people. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a middle school group in your room. Just find another room. It's hard for space, so. But there shouldn't be. There should be, all your rooms should be open.